All right, the message is not long today, and it's not hard today, but it's very pointed today. You and I are going to have to decide what it means to be followers of Christ. And, if we all said, hey, we hadn't had a little fret and go on this week, then whoever hadn't had a little fret and go on this week, you're either just out of existence or you're like, hey, nothing's ever going to touch. You're either unconscious or unconscious. Okay, we're being shook a little bit. Are you all okay with that? We're being shook a little bit. That things don't stay up forever. How many of y'all have learned that? Now, 8 o'clock, I can talk to y'all like this a lot better than I'm fixing to in the last service. You know why? I'm fixing to minister to a generation at 11 o'clock that's never been shaken. Like some of y'all have been shaken in here. It was interesting, as the stock market did its dance, my father happened to walk through the office at that time. And God uses my father. I've been very privileged to have a father who follows Jesus Christ, and he's a deeply intellectual man, and which I didn't take on that, but I like to hear what he's got to say, and it's interesting to me because I know he's thoroughly studied, and I know he's read a lot, and he knows a lot, but I love his answers because his answers are never complicated. And I looked at him, I said, Dad, you know the stock market. The first thing he said to me, he said, I thought you were supposed to be preparing for a sermon. So he said, wait a minute, you better get focused on your purpose. And then I said, well, what happens? And he said, well, son, I came into the world eating beans and potatoes, and you can go out eating beans and potatoes. He said, it's just, you've never had to eat beans and potatoes. Put salt on them. They're pretty good. Now, here's the thing, folks. We've been rattled a little bit, and I hope you've been rattled to this. How many of you have had to take inventory this week what's really important to you? See, it's a whole lot easier to sit in a Bible study or write a paper or type on the computer or run a blog or make commercials than it is to face the reality that, you know what? Sometimes the stuff we put together doesn't hold up. In fact, let me really bring you a truth. All the things that we put together, none of them will last forever. Does that make sense? How many of you are beginning to get the reality of that now? How many of you all are beginning to understand your pastor sometimes when you go, why is he so crazy about making sure people get saved? I've heard people say, well, we need to go deeper. Oh, really? 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 So what you need when the stock market crashes is a spiritual jingle. You need a dance. You need a cartwheel. You see, eventually, here's what I love about shaking times. It gets rid of fluff and bluff Christians, and it gets rid of those who want to twist the Word of God. Now, I think we're going to have to, eventually you got to own up. And I think there's some things that are important. Three of them I want to give you today out of John. Good. We have seven people other than the two pastors who know the sermon series here. John what? Okay. First, I want to start with this. Passion. Passion. You're going to have to check your passions. Why was everybody rattled when money gets twisted? Why does everybody get so upset? It's the passion. It's the passion of America. You know, I wish I could tell you, Kathy Goff, I wish I could tell you as a primary educator when I was sitting in college that I could have made this confession. I'm here to develop my well-rounded human being to interface with the educational community. Joe, you and Sherry were educators, that I was going to be a more well-rounded human being. Let me tell you why I went to college. That's where the money was. In fact, when I went to college, it was in the 80s. Unlike this moment of time, everybody was competing. Do y'all remember the 80s? Big cars, remember? Everything was big in the 80s. That's when mega malls sprung up. That's when corporations went to super corporations. That's when we started doing all of this complex. Brother Carter, you were there in the 80s, remember? That's when we started doing all this complex financing. That's when you begin to hear these words, trickle-down economics. I remember that era trickled down. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you what. I was a young guy sitting there, and I said, you know what? I don't want to be under the spout. I want to carry the bucket. And it was all about money. I'm telling you, it's all about money. I mean, there were like creative, passionate people who were just full of life. And they couldn't sit still for a minute. And guess what they were majoring in? Accounting. Now they're on Prozac intravenously. In other words, they were going for where the money was and not where their passions were. Now here's the first thing I want you to know, that God creates us with a passion for Him. God creates us to live. You think about it, the first thing we do when we come out of the womb is we take a breath and we become what? Animated. Live. You remember that moment in Genesis where God's beginning to show us that He creates this human being from the dust of the earth, and you kind of have this clay shell, and all of a sudden the Ruah of the Spirit of God, He takes a deep breath, and in this beautiful way, a picturesque way, God breathes into the nostrils of what?
Breath of life.
Whoa! And what do we become?
Human.
We're alive. How many of y'all know that we're created to live? We're made to live. We're made to live. In church, I want to tell you, the first thing we got to do is we got to reckon with our passion. We got to have a passion to live. I want you to look. John 3:16, we have a religious figure. Now, I want you to know that nothing's new under the sun. And I want you to hear me. I think you ought to have questions. I love questions because questions beget what? Answers eventually. I think you ought to question everything. How many of you all question stuff? You all probably don't have the suspicious mind, but as I do, and I had somebody ask me the other day, they said, Ayers, where do you stand politically? I said, let me help you with my philosophy and you'll understand. I believe where two or more are gathered, somebody's lying somewhere. So that's the foundation that I start with. So where do you think I am politically? And they go, what do you mean? I said, I have a suspicious mind. I've always had that mind. I drove my Sunday school teachers absolutely crazy because I would ask questions like, who said? Why is it that way? Who made it that way? Why do we follow that? Is it really working? I understand Nicodemus. And he snuck in at Jesus at night. Mm-hmm. I kind of get tickled because I remember I had some professors that I was really intrigued with. One of the professors I had was from Oxford, and he looked like the Equalizer. How many of y'all remember that old show? His name was Professor Nicholson, and he taught us the history of Israel in seminary. And I actually listened to him because he had that British accent, and he looked like the Equalizer. He dressed like the Equalizer. And so one day I said, Professor Nicholson, can we go out to lunch? I would love to just take you out to lunch. And Professor Nicholson said, oh, yes, lad. I would be good to go have a chat with you about our lessons. I said, I just want to have lunch, but if you want to chat about the lessons, that'll be fine. We go to my truck. He tries to get in on my side. I said, you're in the wrong country. Get over here. And we're driving about a mile down the road, and he looks and he said, you know, for the first time in my life, I am driving with a true redneck. It was like he had met a foreigner, you know. He's all Oxford up. He's real proper. And you know what he did? He engaged me in conversation and he even created more questions. But he taught me something. He said, the deeper you go, you will find that God is always the answer. Even in science, there for a while we were wondering, is there a God? Does God exist? Did you know science has dug so deep in their discipline? Guess who they found? God. Because they have an unanswerable question. There's something smaller than the atom. It's called the quantum. And it's so small, but it's all unified. And it's a source of energy in all matter. And they went, uh-oh. If you have a uniform source of energy somewhere, you have to have a unified creator. Uh-oh. Here's the good news. All questions eventually lead to God. So don't smack on people for answering questions. Make sense? Now I want to show you some things. Live with a passion. Nicodemus asked a question. He said, you know, Jesus, I can see you're from God. You know, by the miracles you do, by the work you do. Now, I want you to note closely, though, Jesus doesn't say, no, I didn't work miracles. He absolutely does working miracles. But I want you to know, Jesus doesn't make the miracles his point. I want to teach some of you to quit looking at the spotlights and start living in the show.
Amen.
How many of y'all like the Christmas decorations better than you do Christmas?
No way.
But this is the way we live our faith. Sometimes we live the decorations better than we do the purpose. There's a passion. Look what he said. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Passion. God has a passion to love us that he's going to birth us again. Now, you got to understand this theology. He said, you're going to be born again. Nicodemus freaks out and he goes, how in the world? I'm an old man. How can I get back in my mama's womb? Jesus said, no, it's not a physical birth. It's a spiritual birth. And he goes on to say, that connects with last week's lesson. You got to be born again by spirit and water. There's this connection of new birth. Now, I want to start there today as we go into, for God so loved the world. Do you hear the passion in that? For God so loved the
world.
I'm going to say that one more time because it's a crucial passion. For God so loved the world. Why didn't he say, for God so loved the saved? Get you thinking, wouldn't it? Why didn't it say, for God so loved the church? Why doesn't it say, for God so loved only those I've chosen? Why does it say, for God so loved the world?
Because he had made it.
Exactly right. I think you got to get a passion. God made the world. How many of y'all believe that? That's foundational belief for you. God made this world. Now, I don't know how he made this world. And for your pastor, I don't have a conflict with science. I've never had a conflict with science. I think that's people that need to sell books. I think people need to sell books, really, is where we get a lot of this stuff. Watch this. I don't have a problem with science because all science is doing is trying to explain what God's already done. I haven't seen science find anything that wasn't already in motion. So what's the problem? I remember my geography teacher one time, he said, well, I do not believe that God exists. And I said, well, let me ask you a question, Doc. I don't want to get in an argument with you here, and I'm not one of these religious people here that wants to fuss with you. If you don't believe a God, that's your journey, that's your personal choice. That's the way you want to put life together, that's your business. I said, but let me ask you a question. Whatever that split millisecond is before everything went bang, who pulled the trigger? He said, well, you mean? I said, I think I find it interesting when I'm in here in your science class. You said this supernova thing that apparently was created out of nowhere blows up and starts all these planets. But you know what's really cool is I come from a different discipline, a little more philosophical, a little more theological. And it said that there was this great God that was there before the supernova. And he said this, let there be light. Bang!
Amen.
He said, well, if you want to call that God, that's all right with me. I said, all right, I'm going to say God was on the trigger if that's all right with you. See what I'm saying? We're not going to have all the answers to everything, but we better have an answer for this. A passion to love the world. And that doesn't mean all the things in the world. Did God love the sin of the world?
No,
but he loved the world. He loved people in the world. Guess what? God cares about people in the world. God cares about people in Africa dying. God cares about people taking advantage of others. You read this book. He cares about people. He loves them so much. He wants them to know they can live. Now, guess what, church? We got to keep this on. Our passion ought to be that things live. Now, I'm going to give you a new passion. You ought to be a life giver. How many of y'all are a life giver? For God so loved the world, you got to be lovers. How many of y'all are lovers? Not just of the world. You are lovers of God, so you love what he loves. He loves the people of the world. You got to start loving people. There's always going to be rotten people. How many of y'all know some people are rotten? And how many of y'all know God loves rotten people? You better, because that gives every one of us hope. How many of y'all been rotten before? How many of y'all remember before you were saved, you were just plumb rotten? How many of y'all woke up thinking rotten? How many of y'all were rotten at lunch? How many of y'all were rotten and plotting? Huh? Plotting all the time, up to something, to do what? Bring life to you. Now, note what happens here in John 3:16. Who brings this love to the world? God does. That's who brings the world to the love, to God does. Look, for God so loved the world, that's passion. And we got to love one another. How many times you hear that in the New Testament? Love one another as I've loved you. Love is now you know I've loved you. You've heard it said before, do unto others. But now, do unto them as I have done unto you. John 13. A new command I give you. Love them as I have what? Loved you. We need to have a passion that people can be saved. Now here's the purpose. Passion, purpose. Get a purpose in your life. How many of you realize that when you receive Jesus Christ in your life, you got purpose? To help others see they don't have to die here. That's the purpose. And I remind you of that because guess what? Sometimes we get off purpose. How many of y'all are all worried? Hey, you wouldn't believe all the dialogue I've had in the last 4 weeks. Guess what it is? Take a guess. Questions I'm getting asked. Come on, somebody take a guess. Y'all be fun today. I know it's fall break, but you can think still. No, they don't ask me about the economy. They know I'm broke. Is this it? Is the end of the world coming? I'm tempted to write me a book so I can retire a multimillionaire like Hal Lindsey 30 years later after the world was supposed to come to an end. The Old Testament, they'd hung that sucker. New Testament, we make him a multimillionaire. I don't know if it's it. How am I supposed to know? I'm born in Kentucky. I barely know where Tennessee is, much less the end of the world. What's this? Why are people nervous about the end of the world? No, these are people that say they're saved.
Apparently they're not, because they would be worried if they were.
Come on, why are we worried? Why are we so nervous? Because I'm going to lose my way of life. That's what we fight for. And then we got these weird, strange, biblical passages that say, when you lose your life, you'll what? You gain it. You find it. You'll be born again to you. For God so loved the world. Here's what I want you to know. God's purpose is this. Listen to Jesus speak very pointedly. For God so loved the world. There's his passion. That he gave, purpose, gave his one and only son. That whoever believes in him shall not what? Perish. Passion, God loves the world. Purpose. Can I make it so clear? You and I don't have to die. We don't have to die and be forever away from God. How many of y'all glad to know that's what we're about here at Hillview? Is to let people know you don't have to die in your sin. For God so loved the world that you don't have to be condemned. That you can be forgiven. I don't know, but I think this is incredibly good news. My purpose is to live in the passion of the forgiveness that I've been given so that others might realize they too can be what? Forgive it. Now, let me help you with this. You don't have to put bumper stickers on and put your Bible on your dashboard and go through all this religious hoorah. Just be naturally forgiven. First of all, I think there's some good principles that need to enter in. How many of y'all are appreciative that God wanted to be with us? You know, Jerry, one of the things that brings in an appreciation of praise is appreciation brings praise. I don't think we're appreciative that we've been saved. I know that sounds like an incredibly harsh indictment, but I don't think we are sometimes. How many of y'all are glad to know you've been saved? You know, Dale, if it all plunders, if Wall Street turns into No Street, guess what? God hadn't changed his mind. What do you think? What do y'all think?
And we got to keep moving. There's some things I think we got to do. And how many of y'all going to keep living no matter what happens? Huh? We got to keep living. How many of y'all say, wait a minute, sometimes in difficult times, well, let's see what Jesus did. I think Jesus made difficult times awesome times. Jesus didn't look at where I was. He looked at where I could be. Isn't that interesting? Jesus didn't say, hey, you're just an old washed out sinner. You've disobeyed my commands. You have no hope. He said, because of my passion and because of my purpose, I'm going to birth you again into a new reality. Isn't that neat? For God so loved the what?
World.
How many of y'all going to start loving the world a little bit? Now, hold on, imbalance. Now, no, some of you, are, right now I can hear you all scriptural general. Well, God said for us to be separate from the world. Yes. Here's the way you get separate from the world. Be born again. You still got to live in it. How many of y'all realize we go the same minute mark as everybody else? And let me ask you a question. Part of being separate is your testimony. We're supposed to testify in the midst of the world that God loves the world. Here's what I want you to know. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to know that God loves you. And then he sent his son to do what? He gave his one and only son that you don't have to die. We got to get clear about that. Being a believer is about living. Because now there's three things I want you to hear today out of this text. First of all, re-examine your passion. That's the communion. I've been changed by God. Understand our purpose is to testify that there is one who's come. His name is Jesus, and he will forgive us of our sins. Now, when our sins are forgiven, this is all in John 3:16, our destiny is rewritten. How many of y'all need to? Hey, what were we trying to do this week? It's really kind of funny. What were we doing to our economic system? Let's not use the word bailout because I think that was some bad communication. If I was working in Washington this week, I sure wouldn't have said bailout. What happened, guys? That was a bad thing. We're not bailing out Wall Street. We're trying to keep the credit lines flowing. Because what y'all don't understand is, guess what? There's credit that's being flowing all the time. Guess what that allows you to do? No, get a check from your job. All right, it's some kind of high-tech, fancy financing that was created probably back in the 80s when we were all trying to make what? Money. You know, we're going to make interest on every moment we got. Here's what I love. Did anybody see the piece on Hudson Bank in New Jersey? This bank is it's just totally stable. It's locked up stable. I just want to show you something. When you stay with what works, even when everybody else gets fancy, you win. You know what Hudson Bank does? Y'all remember this. Some of you are older. You remember this back in a long, long time ago, back in an era where we had consequences and responsibility. Try to go back there and get that. I remember when Elizabeth and I got a house. David, you're about the same age as I. You have gray now. I remember when we got our house, we had to do something. It was called 20%. You remember that? I mean, you didn't even go to the bank and say, hey, I'd like 125% loan. Because we didn't have people that stupid back then. You know why you didn't have credit cards in the 50s? Anybody know? Some of y'all were in the 50s. Chuck Gary, you were in the 50s, weren't you? I mean, that's when you were in your groove in the 50s, wasn't it? I mean, you could shoot a basketball then. You remember that?
Yep.
Did you have a credit card when you and Ann first got married? Why?
Wasn't none around.
Because we didn't have people stupid enough to use them. You know what they called credit cards in the 50s? Loan sharking. You know what we called it in the 80s? Trickle down. This old Hudson Bank, guess what? They showed them on the news. Guess what? They never went with this newfangled banking, and you always had to put 20% down on your loan. And when everybody was selling their mortgages, they didn't sell their mortgages, and they took care of their folks right there in New Jersey, and they just built strong relationships, and they loved people, and they just did it by the simplicity of the book. And guess what? They're still standing. Now, here's the reason I tell you this. If you think the faith of Jesus Christ is really simple and it's not complex enough for you, and it doesn't have enough groove and enough lights and enough shine and bells and whistles and complications, I want to tell you, we'll all be standing when everything else has gone to the side. I remember farming in the 70s, watching the farmers. I remember all these new farmers. They listened to their agents and all this stuff. They all got them some big four-wheel drive John Deere tractors with an eight-track back then. sitting up in the cab, and they was fancy, and they had them a new John Deere hat on. And guess what? About 3 years later, they had a banker coming and getting that big new tractor. And guess who was still going? The 30-horsepower old farmer that had his big old sombrero on out there, you know, his big old wore-out hat on, and he's going blah, 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 and the stacks hanging off on the side, and he's fencing with coat hangers. But he's still what? Just some simple things that I think you need to know. Be careful. Here's our purpose, to make sure people know they can be forgiven. Here's just what I want you to know. What sounds simple works. That's why I gave you those two illustrations. What sounds simple works. It's amazing to me when you're married. Cleaning up the house. If I clean up the house, that does more for Elizabeth than a dozen roses will ever speak. Maybe it's so rare. I don't know. But what I'm saying, that sounds what? Simple. If I was ever to write a book on marriage, my first chapter would be clean up the house. Just how that affects things. You care. Simple things matter. And sometimes I think people think those of us who follow Jesus Christ are so simple. I hear that all the time. They like to look at me and go, well, Ayers, you're just, you know, that's good. And I love these condescending intellects when they go, well, I think it's good for you people to, you know, have that faith to hold on to. You people. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought you came out of a womb too. I thought you were born into this world just like I was born in this world. And see, I never tell them I have degrees because I like to hook them. And it's so funny, they start backing off when you got letters in front of your name. That's how stupid these people are. That they think alphabet letters in front of your name is a sign of intelligence. Life lived to the fullest is the point. And watch this. And Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to come in the world. So this would be our destiny. You ready? John 3:16, the destiny. That we would not have to perish. But here's the destiny. Would have eternal what? Life. And in that we live. Why? Note verse 17. Don't leave home without it. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I want you to know God's heartbeat. He's not about condemnation. But what? To save the world through him. Why? Left to our own, we mess it up. How many of y'all found that to be true? If I don't have some kind of divine intervention, I'll just live for myself. Did you hear this philosophically? And I don't know how many more stories we got to have. We're not going to build our way to heaven. We're not going to buy our way to heaven. We're not going to technologically advance our way to heaven. There's one way, isn't there, Bob? You say it all the time, every week. You hand out pamphlets on it. Excuse me. You believe that we've all sinned. And God so loved the world that he loved the sinners in it. Passion, that he sent his purpose, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him shall not what? But have what? Eternal life. Why? Because he didn't come to condemn us. Because here was the problem. Verse 18, note carefully. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. Because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So let me help you. There is not another way.
This is the way.
And I just want you to know it's not going to be popular to believe in Jesus in the United States of America. It's not popular. You don't feel it quite as much because we live in the what? South. Go to the East Coast and proclaim that you're a follower of Jesus Christ and see what happens. I love talking to him. I had one guy when I was in New Jersey, he looked at me, he goes, well, I understand in the South people are simple. You know, it was really good because I was about to show this guy what Southern people were really like. You know? And you know what? But I had to get a grip, because guess what he wanted to do? He wanted to invoke me, because really when you go to the East Coast, they look at Southern people. Guess how they look at you? Come on, y'all know. Some of y'all been over there. What? You're cute. Well, that's nice. Y'all got some good ideas. You eat grits. I'm like, no, this is about Jesus. It's not about intellect. For God so loved the world that God sent his only Son, so that you and I don't have to die, but in him we can live eternal life. So I just want to remind you of those 3 points today. Stay in Jesus, okay? Do I know what the stock market's going to do? Lord, no. If I did, we would pay off this building quick. I tell you what the stock market's going to do. It's going to go up and it's going to come down. It's going to level off and it's going to turn around. I do know this much. If you finance yourself at 125% interest, you know, or not interest, just 125% loan, you're going to go broke quicker than if you use some solid principles. Make sense? Let me help you all with this. If you're going to spend more than you make, you're going to go broke eventually. How's those for principles? Here's what I know. High-definition TVs are not a human need. And a lot of the other stuff we have is not a need. And you need to live within your what? Let me go over the needs just so everybody will have them. You have a need for Jesus. That's the first one. You need to be saved. Second of all, you do need some kind of shelter. Shelter primarily keeps the water off your head. It keeps the sun. And you do need heat. Okay? There's a lot more people that freeze to death than heat stroke. Okay? You all realize that there was a time, and it wasn't too long ago, that people lived without air conditioning? You know, my grandmother did it in Mississippi. They had humidity. They didn't even know they had a heat index. Here was their heat index. Woo! Little warm today. As a heat index. And when they were coaching football in the South, they said, well, we might need to slow down a little bit. We've had 4 drop today. And guess what they did? They just pulled them overside and threw some water on them until they woke up. They didn't call the paramedics. Woo! Hot! God's got a purpose. And you know what? We probably need some transportation. We need to figure out how to get around. But you know what? If we got real creative, we could help each other get around, couldn't we? If we all work together. Which, I mean, let's look at Hillview. Let's just be honest for a minute. How many cars we got out there today? Mine's one of them, so I'm confessing my own sin. Where there was one rider in them. There we go. One day we're going to have to come back together and say, you know what, you're on the way to church. I'll drive this week, you drive next week. Come on, I'm just showing you that there's some things that we can change that aren't too costly that'll help us get through all these things, get things done. Amen. Watch this. Here's what we're asking in America. We are disturbed because our convenience is being changed. Now, there's the truth. I wish I could give you a promise that Jesus said, I have come that your life may be convenient. However, I have searched the Scripture and I have found that Jesus is not concerned about our personal convenience. I know this bothers a lot of you all. But Jesus is really not going, I tell you what, man, they're really having a rough life because they have roll-up windows. That's not his deal. That's our deal. His deal is three-faceted. I have a passion that you might know that I love you. I want you to know that I've sent my son Jesus to save you. And I want you to know that your ultimate destiny is not here, but it is with me in eternal life. See how that works? Stay in those principles, church. Amen? Amen. So that means today some of y'all need to get saved. Amen? Amen? Watch this. Some of y'all need to make today the end of your world and the beginning of his. You need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Come into my life. Save me of my sins. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me. So, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come in my life and forgive me my sins. Guess what he's going to do? Do it. He's going to forgive you. He's going to love you. He's going to remake you. Maybe today you need to come and say, you know what, God? I haven't been talking the right message. Our purpose after we believe is to let other people know that this works. How many of y'all been doing that? Well, we got to get a grip on that and probably start doing that a little better as a church. Amen? And listen, guys, we've confused people. Man, I'm so glad I'm saved because I'd hate to be lost. How confusing would it be? I mean, I'm serious. It's confusing. Everybody you meet that says, especially Protestants, everybody you meet that says they're a Christian, they all got 400,000 different ideas of what that means. It's time to get down to the basics. It means this. We've sinned, Jesus Christ saves, and we worship Him. So I'm going to challenge some of y'all to quit preaching the accessories and start talking about the message. You want to see the church have a great revolution? Jim Britt, I believe the church, you've been at this a little longer than I believe it'd have a great revolution if we started preaching Jesus again. That's a heck of an indictment, isn't it, that I have to stand here in the 21st century and call the church back to preaching Jesus. Yeah. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, that's just too simple for me. All right. Then just go on to your complicated hell. Now, there it is on the line. Some of you are going, well, you offended me. Well, better now than later. Oprah says there's not a hell. Whoopity-doo. Who is Oprah? She's just like you, born of woman. Well, they said on the news, here's the news, for God so loved the world. Come on, guys, it's time to get with Jesus. I'd get with Him pretty quick. What are y'all waiting for? Just everything to go to hell, and then you're going to stand right into the midst of everything sinking and say, here, God, throw me some dental floss. Wouldn't you rather be secure in your faith? Well, you got to believe what Jesus believed. You got to believe in Jesus. Come on, it's time for us to step that up. Amen. I'm not going to back off that message. So some of y'all, if y'all want to go ahead and believe there's 1,400 different ways to heaven, I haven't heard that in our congregation, but I'm warning you for this reason. It's coming. Everybody's working on it in the nation. Well, there's many gods. We need to embrace all the gods. Our forefathers would, their heads would spin to see what we've done with that concept. I really, truly believe when the forefathers were talking about religious freedom, they were not talking about allowing the satanic church to have equality with the Christian faith. Do you all? It's time for us to see what we're going to believe. I'm going to stand in Jesus. What about you guys? I may have to live with some of y'all, but I'm going to stand in Jesus. They may come get my truck, but I'm going to stand in Jesus. Make sense? We may have to eat beans and taters, but I'd rather have beans and taters to the glory of God than a steak from the devil. Amen. Because I believe these three things. For God so loved the world. He's the only one I found that loved it. I don't love the world. Left to me, I love me. But for God so loved the world, I believe Jesus is the one that came. Now you can go intellectual. Well, prove it. Disprove it. We can play tic-tac-toe intellectually all day long. X-O, X-O. Here's what faith is. I believe it. And here's all I can tell you from experience. I've never seen anybody die believing in Jesus that was uncomfortable with their death. I've seen thousands of people die without Jesus that didn't look real good at the end. And I've never heard anybody when they die tell me this. This Jesus thing is totally crazy. But Sue, I've heard some of the people that people would question the deepest look at me and go, Ayers, Jesus in my room, come get me. Of course, I thought, well, it must be the medicine. When I stepped out of the room and 30 seconds later they died, I went, whoo, it's one of those Jesus moments. It's that real. Amen? So let's stand together. We got the altar. Let's pray. We're still in prayer. I'm going to ask you, listen, I can't make you do anything. Wouldn't try to. We do need to pray for our nation and just pray that we get some good principles going. We return back to some things that are solid. Okay? I don't care what side of the aisle does it. Let's just have some common sense. Amen? And that might be a prayer. Let's get this thing done. If you need a relationship with Jesus, this altar, this pastor is here to talk to you. If you've never been baptized, we'd like to see you be baptized because that's what God asks you to do. So if you're going to believe, believe. Do what He says. And we need to pray that we as the church would repent, okay? Let's quit praying about all the politicians. Let's quit praying about all the politicians. I mean, we need to pray for them, but let's quit blaming it on them. And let's ask God this. Where have we not been where we're supposed to be as a church? And then once we get where we're supposed to be as a church, then we'll see what happens, okay? Let's do that first. What do you think, guys? Let's focus on us. Altar's open. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, You draw the folks that need to be saved. God, may nobody leave this house without Your passion, without Your purpose, without Your destiny. And so, God, let them touch You in a real way. God, forgive me where I fall so short. And help me believe, Lord, in a simple message that's come from You that changes everything. So, God, bless this place. Lord, we pray for our nation right now. Lord, I pray for all the politicians that have to make decisions that are unimaginable. And, Lord, I just pray right now, Father, that we will look in our hearts and find some economic stability. Father, that we'll help people be real. Lord, I pray for people that are disappointed and people that are scared and people that are wondering. God, may this be a testimony time. May this be a testimony time in this nation that the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ is correct. So bring us back to solid biblical principles of living that allow the world to see Your hope. In the name of Christ, amen.